Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. If you are a visitor with us this morning, we welcome you most warmly to this time of worship together. Just a few intimations to announce today. First of all, our friend Ewan Glenn, the minister of Money Mosque in Cluny, has asked me to announce that on Saturday, 18th of June, in the afternoon, from 2 until 4, there'll be a vintage afternoon tea. It'll feature the Spectrum Singers, a glass of fizz. I think we all know what that is. A selection of scones and cakes served on vintage china. All the proceeds from this event go to Money Mosque and Cluny churches. Again, that's Saturday, 18th of June, 2 to 4. If you'd like more information about tickets, please do come and speak with me after the service. The next intimation we have is about Silent Auction, which is also on June 18th from 10 to 11 here in Kemnay Church Center. So between Money Mosque and Kemnay, you can have a true social outing on Saturday. The Silent Auction of Skills and Objects, again, will be June 18th, 10 to 11 a.m. at the Church Center here in Kemnay. Tea and coffee and shortbread will also be on sale. Come and browse and stay around to up your bid if need be. And we know this goes towards a very good cause for training a doctor in Malawi for Nakoma Hospital. And after service is concluded today, you'll see Noel and David in the back holding up signs with things which will be available for bidding. Is that right, Noel? So please do pause and take a look at those offerings and strongly consider coming along on Saturday, June 18th from 10 to 11 for the silent auction. A quick note about our video operators. For our new cameras and our new system, there's a new rota available to pick up today. A reminder that next Sunday, June 19th, is when we're supposed to bring back our Smarty tubes filled with 20 pence and pound coins in aid of Christian aid. So please do remember, next Sunday, bring your labeled and numbered Smarty tubes back with you. I'm sure Leslie will be here with a clipboard taking accurate records as well. On the 21st of June, 7 p.m. in the Church Center, we'll have our next gathering of the men's group. That'll be with David Duffy, and all interested men are invited to come along and hear about a special musical hobby. And last but certainly not least, the Thursday Bible study group has been on holiday and will now meet again this Thursday, the 16th of June. Jeff, is that right? 16th of June, this Thursday, for Bible Discovery Group? Right. And I believe the Monday group is now off for holiday, and the Wednesday group with myself and the Gospel of John will be off this week due to my attendance at a Church of Scotland conference during that time. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? Any other intimations at all? Right. Good. Well, with those said, now let us enter into our time of worship by starting with our call to worship, which comes to us from Psalm 136. When I was in university, I thought of Psalm 136 as God's resume, telling us all the great things that God has done. And I'd like to try this morning as a responsive call to worship. So I'll say a line, and then hope we can all respond with, "His love endures forever." Can we try that together? His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And has freed us from our adversaries, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. We do give thanks to the God of heaven, and we now worship him in song by singing together, "Strength Will Rise, Everlasting God." And during the singing of this song, Your offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Let us pray. Lord, let thy kingdom come. Come, Lord, and let us be aware of your presence in our worship today. As we stop, look, listen, smell, taste, and feel, we know that you are here with us, no matter what is going on in our lives and our thoughts. Thank you, Lord. All around, we see new life in the trees, flowers, the crops growing, and young birds in our gardens and parks. We are reminded of the new life we have as we accept you in our lives and become part of your kingdom here on earth. Okay, Lord, we don't always remember you in our daily lives. We do things we know that are wrong. We ignore folk, or we say unpleasant things about people. And we walk away from you regularly, Lord. Forgive us and free us to be in your kingdom, to be in your love, and to be with you quietly, slowly, reverently. Lord, we thank and praise you for your care, your love, your grace towards us. Help us to acknowledge and accept this and live to your glory, that we may be part of your kingdom coming on earth and work with you towards it. Thank you for the gifts we have all been given. And as we give our monetary gifts today, we dedicate them to your service along with ourselves. Show us your work in this world, and thank you for allowing us to be part of it. When we are baptized and know your forgiveness from sin, we find we are being changed into a new life in Christ. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Jen and Richard's marriage yesterday, and we lift them to you in their new life together as they make adjustments to this new way of living. Inspire us to work together to change the world so that everyone has enough and all can live life to the full. Create in us the desire to live in harmony with creation so that all people may flourish and your kingdom come. Whatever is on your mind or in your heart today, leave it with Jesus and go out to keep calm, speak, and walk with Jesus. And let us join together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Noel. We continue to worship God together by singing our next hymn, Thy Kingdom Come. Now I'd like to invite my lovely wife, Heather, forward to help me with the children's talk today.
As my husband shared a couple weeks ago, he loses things sometimes. So I need all the boys and girls to open up their eyes. And he brought in his notes, and they are white pieces of paper.
I'm fairly disorganized today,
and
though.
And they've gone everywhere. Mm-hmm. So using your eyes, can you guys help me find his notes today? If you can look out and see where you think they might be around the sanctuary. So if you think that you spy one, let me know. Oh, Daniel's pointing. I think Daniel's found one.
Has Daniel found one?
You want to come help me find it? Will you come help me find it? Daniel's going to come help me. Come. Did you find one of Joshua's notes? We need to come find it. Did you find it? Which one? Can you come help me get it? Can you come see it? Where do you see it? Do you see it right?
Oh, well done. Yes.
Oh, very good. Good job, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
Okay.
Well done.
Who else can find one? Can anyone help? Katie, can you come? Can you go get one?
Do you see one, Katie?
Okay, we'll get Ben's getting it next.
Right.
Okay, goodness. And if you get the sticky blue tack, too, you get bonus points. Very good. Thank you. Can you pick that up for me and give that to me? Okay, Ben, you see one? You want to use your words?
Well done, Katie.
Where do you see one, Ben? Behind me? Right here? Do I need to go lower? Lower? Right here? Yeah, good job. Ben found one.
Good.
Okay, oh, look at this. Did Samuel help find one of them for us? Very good. Good job, Samuel. Okay, and are we missing? Let's see. Are you missing any more?
Yeah, I think so.
Annabelle, can you find one for me? Okay, yeah. Ben's got. Let's see. Let's get Annabelle helping.
Right.
Okay, good job. Very good job. And is there another one around?
I think I'm missing one more.
Did he find? Very good. Very good.
Did you find another one, Samuel? Well done. Thank you so much. Good eyes.
Good job, you guys. Thank you. He's misplaced those, and we needed your help.
Now, I will try to be better organized next time. I'm sorry for that.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Pastor Joshua is teaching about the Lord's Prayer. And so, were these your notes on the Lord's Prayer?
I think those look familiar to me, yeah.
Well, I'm looking through them, and let's see, I want to do the first one that might be the very beginning.
Oh, yes, that's
right. We've got, on earth as it is in heaven, or our Father. Any ideas which one is the beginning of the prayer? Lucy, do you think? Is it this one? Yeah, okay. So let's start in that one. So this is a Lord's Prayer, and it starts saying, Our Father. Can you guys say that with me? Our Father. Father. Very good. What does that mean? What does that mean, Joshua?
Well, you know, in the Bible, boys and girls, Jesus told us to call God our Father. And you know what? He often used a very special word when he talked to his Father in heaven. A very special word, Abba. Not the band. Abba, which means quite literally, Daddy. It's a very special word that he used when he talked to his Father. And so Jesus invites us to use the same word to talk to God, to also call God our Father as well.
Very good. And the prayer goes on. And since your notes got all confused.
I'm sorry.
Is it on earth as it is in heaven, or who art in heaven? Which one do we think might go next? Any ideas?
Any thoughts?
Which one? Okay, Katie, are you thinking, Katie, this one?
You think it's that one?
Okay, congregation, what do you think? Okay, we'll go with that one.
Okay, very good.
Okay, and what about that, Joshua, who art in heaven? Is that mean we do a drawing of them?
No, it's not that kind of art. No. This part of the prayer tells us where God is, tells us that heaven is God's home. And that sometimes we think of heaven as a far, far away place that has nothing to do with us here on earth, but nothing could be further from the truth. This tells us that when we pray here on earth, boys and girls, that God hears us all the way up in heaven.
Okay, so let's try it all together. Our Father, who art in heaven. Very good. Okay, your notes are in a weird order again.
Gosh.
Hallowed be your name, or on earth as it is in heaven.
Let's see.
What do you think?
Which one?
I think we've got double vote. Is that what you were going to say?
Right.
Okay.
Well done, Annabelle.
I think that might be on to something. Okay. Oh, we're not going to go in order there. That always makes reading hard. Okay. Hallowed be your name. I don't use that word very much anymore. Hallowed.
What does that word mean, Heather?
Hallowed. You know what I often think about with that is holy or pure. And notice this one doesn't have a picture on it. It's just white, because if something's white, it reminds us how clean and pure and holy is. And who is clean, pure, and holy? God is. So we can remember that. So hallowed be your name. So God is holy when we say his name. So can we say it together so far?
Mm-hmm.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, pure. Okay, Joshua, you really got to keep your notes in order. This is getting crazy. Okay, so on earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come. What are we thinking?
Which one is next?
What are we thinking? Any idea?
What do you think?
Oh, Vin's thinking. He's weighing the options.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What do you think?
Okay, that's a good guess. Congregation, can we help? Okay, who thinks thy kingdom come? What do you think?
Votes for that one.
Okay, yeah. Any votes for this? We're being quiet on that. What do you think? Joshua, you're the...
I don't think I could hear anybody voting. Which one votes for this?
It votes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Thy kingdom come. And look at the picture on that.
What's
look
that a picture
the
of?
Picture. A crown.
That's right.
A crown. So why is there a crown on that one, Pastor Joshua?
There's a crown on that because God is our king. You know, this weekend's a very special weekend here in Britain, isn't it? Celebrating Her Majesty's 90th birthday, the state birthday, right? And then the April birthday. But just as she is queen of the whole UK, in a much bigger sense, God is king of the whole world, the whole universe. And so when we pray this, we're praying that God will be king everywhere, as he is already king in heaven.
Very good. So let's try it so far with our pictures. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Okay, we're getting down to your last two notes that we found.
Oh, good.
On earth as it is in heaven, and your will be done. Thy will be done. Any ideas? Your will be done.
Which one's next?
Of which one? So take a look at the pictures. Are you thinking this? Daniel's pointing. I see Daniel pointing at this one.
I think
look
so.
Look at that.
I think he's right.
Look at that. He seems pretty intense on that one. Okay, what do you think? Let's put. Were you guessing this one too, Ben?
Right? Okay.
Good job. Okay.
Okay. And this one at the top, if you can't see in the balcony, it says God's will versus my will.
Oh, I like to do things my way. You knew that.
That's right. You and Frank Sinatra both.
But what's this saying?
But every day we have a choice whether we do what we want or if we do what God wants us to do. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, especially this line, it's our way of saying, God, do what you want with our lives. It's our way of saying our lives belong to you. So have your way in each of our lives.
That's an important one to pray, because we like to do things our way, don't we?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Okay, I'm guessing. Are we finally to this one?
I think we are.
Because I can't find any more notes, so finally got to that one. What is that one? On earth as is in heaven.
Want me to talk?
Earth as it is in heaven. This is pretty special because when I think about heaven, I think about things being done right, where you don't get upset about things. You don't always have to cry about things. You don't get hurt when in heaven. All those things that make us sad. And so when we pray this, we're praying that God's way would be done here on earth. That, you know, sometimes when people don't get along in heaven, everybody gets along. And so this is an important part of the prayer to pray, because we're praying God's way in heaven to be done on earth. Which how exciting would that be, to be able to get along with everybody so that nobody would cry anymore, quite literally. No, that does happen. God collects all of our tears, and that way would be done here on earth. So can we try it and say part of it together as much as you think, even if all you have is the first part? Let's try it. Remember this one? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the first part of the Lord's Prayer, which focuses all on God. The next part gets to include a little bit of us, and we'll learn that in a couple weeks to come. And this is a very special prayer to pray, and you can even pray it around your dinner tables, around your tea time tables. So if it's something that as a family you don't know yet, I'd encourage you to begin praying it even beginning at tea time. Mm-hmm. So Pastor Joshua, would you close our time in prayer?
Yes, indeed. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful prayer that Jesus has taught us. Lord, help us to use the words of this prayer to become closer to you, to become more and more like Jesus. Lord, help us to hallow your name in our lives. Help us to follow your will in our lives. Help us to pray for your kingdom to be here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all of these things in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Heather. Mm-hmm. She keeps me organized. What can I say? Now we continue our worship in song by singing our next song together, Let the Earth Resound. And at the conclusion of this song, our children can be excused for their activities.
Songs of praise to you. This morning's reading is from Mark's Gospel, and it's found on page 1002 of the Pew Bibles. John the Baptist prepares the way, the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. This was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The baptism and temptation of Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. The calling of the first disciples. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." God will bless the reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you, Adam. We continue to worship our God now through song by singing "God the Lord, the King Almighty."
Call me,
Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we continue our journey through the Lord's Prayer, through these words that change the world, we pray that you will pour your Spirit into our hearts and our minds. Fill us, Lord, with your presence, so that our knowledge of you will deepen, so that our love for you will grow. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are the strength and redemption of all who call on your name. Amen. Well, as we know, we are continuing our journey through the Lord's Prayer. As I just said, through these words which change the world, these words which change our lives. Last week, we heard how in his own ministry, the greatest desire of Jesus' own heart was to have his Father's name hallowed on earth as it is already hallowed in heaven. And how that line of the Lord's Prayer is Jesus' way of inviting us into the same joyous call to hallow the Father's name, the Father's reputation in our own lives, so that others will come to know God as the most precious thing in their lives too. This week we are looking at the second petition within the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We may remember from last week the first words of the prayer, our Father in heaven, and the last words of the prayer, on earth as it is in heaven, apply to every petition in this part of the prayer. So we can and we should pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second petition of the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, or your kingdom come, is one of, if not the most stupendous thing we could ever hope to pray. The heart of this second petition, your kingdom come, puts every other concern, every other need that we have in our lives into proper perspective. As people of Christian faith, there is nothing that we should want more than the appearance and continued presence of God's kingdom on earth as it is such in heaven. I'll say it again. This line of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, gives us perspective on what really matters. And as Christians, I think we can agree that a big part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus is living in a manner that continuously reorients us back to God's perspective on everything. In 1971, an American astronaut named James Irwin became the eighth person to walk on the surface of the moon. Prior to his time on the moon, Irwin described himself as a lukewarm Christian, as a silent Christian, his words, as someone who did believe that there was a God, but also tried very hard to keep God's call from flowing over into every part of his life. But his time on the moon had a profound impact on him, and after he returned to Earth, Irwin realized that nothing was more important than telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ. In his own words, he said, "I feel the Lord sent me to the moon so that I could return to the earth and share his son Jesus." The entire space achievement is put in proper perspective, he said, when one realizes that God walking on earth is far more important than man walking on the moon. In other words, his own greatest achievement was the means by which God taught him that the coming of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven is the greatest thing that we could ever hope to see in this life or in the next. And we've heard before that the hallowing of God's name was at the very heart of our Lord's message, at the very heart of his own prayer life. And the same can be said for the coming of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. From start to finish, every line of the Lord's Prayer is an invitation to us into Jesus' own priorities, into his own prayer life. And we know from Scripture that the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, was one of the most frequent themes of our Lord's own teaching and preaching. He kept bringing up the kingdom over and over and over again. Many of his parables, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this or this. He's constantly talking about the kingdom in the Bible. And at the very end of this morning's reading from Mark's gospel, this reading, which starts with some very dramatic scenes about the baptism of Jesus, the temptation of Jesus, at the very end of that reading, we heard these words from verse 15 when Jesus himself said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is near or at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." He said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom is near." Now, the word that we translate here as time has a very special meaning in the gospel, in the original Greek. And that word is kairos. When we usually think about time, we tend to think of it in terms of seconds, minutes, days, weeks, months, years, so on. The Greek word for that kind of time, time that we measure, is chronos. We can guess, maybe we get chronology from that word, the study of time. Kairos, on the other hand, has a very different meaning. Kairos means something closer to appointed time. Or in the words of one of Heather's teachers, Daryl Johnson, kairos means opportunity time. Kairos is when God acts to fulfill his purposes. Any moment when God acts is a kairos moment. So when we pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, especially this second petition, "Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," we are praying for a kairos moment of the kingdom from our Heavenly Father. We are praying that the purposes of God will come to full fruition right here in this place in our lives. And when it comes to what Scripture teaches us about the kairos moment of God's coming kingdom, there's a constant dynamic at work. On the one hand, we as Christians must say that the fullness of God, everything that God is, everything that God has planned, has been revealed in Jesus Christ. We as Christians must say that there is no part of God hiding behind Jesus that we haven't yet seen. Have you ever thought about it that way before? Jesus is the fullness of God, and therefore Jesus is the fullness of God's kingdom. I think that's why he said what he said at the end of our reading from Mark, when he said, "The kairos, the appointed time, the opportunity time has been fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand." He said that about his own ministry. What a stupendous claim. Only God himself could make such a claim. And according to Scripture, throughout the whole narrative, the life and work of Jesus revealed the kingdom of God. Jesus himself brought the kingdom near. Everything that Jesus said, everything that he did, showed God's kingdom, God's rule to the surrounding world. The entire life and ministry of Jesus was a kairos moment, an opportunity time moment, a time when God was acting through Jesus Christ. To put it another way, in Jesus Christ, God's future purposes have broken into the present moment. God's future purposes, God's future kingdom, has broken into the present moment. And so in Jesus' own life and ministry, what did this arrival, what did this inbreaking of the kingdom of God look like? As I said before, everything he said and did showed the kingdom of God to the world around him. When he opened the eyes of the blind, Jesus showed us God's kingdom. When he told the lame man to pick up his mat and walk, he showed us God's kingdom. When he touched and healed lepers, the most unclean people of their day, Jesus showed us God's kingdom. When he drove out demons, he showed us the kingdom. When he calmed the wind and the waves, he showed us the kingdom. When he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, he showed us the kingdom. When he healed the sick of any affliction, he showed us the kingdom. When he was raised from the dead, he showed us the kingdom. But the coming kingdom of God wasn't only revealed in these explicit miracles. Everything he said and did revealed the kingdom of God to the world, to us. When Jesus reached out to prostitutes and befriended them, Jesus showed us the kingdom. And remember, in the first century, prostitutes were just as bad, if not worse, than lepers. When Jesus stood up for those who were powerless, for those who were marginalized, for the poor, Jesus showed us the kingdom. In his own life and ministry, Jesus showed us the kingdom of God when he united people who the world expected to be enemies. We must remember that his first disciples, those who he called by name, came from a wide variety of backgrounds. His disciples included a man named Simon. Simon was a zealot, and the zealots of the day desired nothing more than to overthrow the Roman government that occupied their land. His disciples also included a fellow named Matthew, a tax collector, a Jewish man who worked for the Romans to collect money from the Jewish people. Do you think Matthew had a lot of friends in the community? What's your guess? Yes? No? No. Outside of Jesus, these two men would have regarded each other as mortal enemies. They were about as far apart as you could get. But both of these men, and the other disciples as well, were drawn into something entirely new when they encountered Jesus. Something that canceled out and overruled old labels, old identities, and old hatreds. Only the coming kingdom of God in Jesus could make peace between a member of a repressive government, Matthew, and a radical terrorist like Simon. Jesus also showed us the kingdom of God by the way he treated women. In this day and age, maybe, some of us take the equality of men and women as a given or as a necessity. For most of human history, this was not the case, and it certainly wasn't the case back in first century Palestine. Back then, women could not vote. They could hardly own any property. In the time of Jesus, women were largely second-class citizens in every sense of the word. But that wasn't the case with Jesus. It isn't the case with the kingdom of God. We know from Scripture that several women were part of our Lord's inner circle. Jesus affirmed their worth, and when he was raised from the dead, Scripture tells us that the first witnesses, the first people to see him alive were, what were they? Women. Jesus showed us the kingdom of God. The coming kingdom of God by miracle, by teaching, by action. Everything he did, everything he said revealed the kingdom to the world around him. In his life and his ministry, Jesus showed us the kairos moment when the coming kingdom of heaven has drawn near. But that's not the end of the story, is it? In one sense, Scripture tells us that in Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is drawn near. Great. But there are other passages in Scripture in which Jesus himself also talks about the kingdom as something still to come. Luke 22:18, during the Last Supper, he said, "I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Until it comes. What does this mean? How can something already arrived, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near, and also not yet be here? I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. How do we make sense of this? This can be hard for us to understand, but when it comes to the kingdom of God, we as Christians must say that God's kingdom, God's rule, is both an already and a not yet. The kingdom is an already and a not yet. In Jesus, the kingdom has been fully revealed, but the kingdom of God does not yet rule over the whole earth, does it? The kingdom of God is already, and it's also not yet. That's right where we live. That's right where we live. The ongoing tension between this already and the not yet is beautifully captured for us in the words of the Lord's Prayer. It is because the kingdom of heaven has already come that we can join with Jesus in his prayer for God's name to be hallowed, for God's will to be done, for our daily bread, for our forgiveness of our sins. It is because the kingdom has already come that Jesus has atoned for our sin upon the cross. It is because the kingdom of heaven has already come that God has poured the Holy Spirit into our lives, calling us to live more and more like Jesus, to show his great love to everyone who happens to cross our path. All of this is because the kingdom has already come. But the kingdom is also a not yet. God's name isn't hallowed everywhere. Many people, many Christians still struggle badly, badly with the power of sin. Many people choose not to live the new life offered in the Spirit. We believe that Jesus has won the war, but the battle rages on. And because this is so, we continue to pray the words of the Lord's Prayer today, especially the second petition, "Our Father in heaven, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May the day come when the peace of heaven is also here on earth." Maybe a better way to pray this line of the prayer would be, "Our Father in heaven, may your kingdom continue to increase here on earth as it is increasing in heaven." Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven is an evangelistic prayer. When we pray these words together, when we pray them in private, we're praying for the arrival of God's kingdom to be brought to completion. When we pray these lines, "Your kingdom come," we are praying for the grace to be evangelists, to spread the good news of the kingdom to every corner of our village, every corner of our country, every corner of our globe. That's what we're supposed to be about here in Kemnekirk. The calling of the church, of this body here, is to announce the coming of God's kingdom. The church is not the same as the kingdom of God, but the church does point. Sometimes it points awkwardly, with crooked fingers, but it still points towards the coming kingdom of God in our midst. "Thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven" is also a great reminding prayer. This part of the prayer reminds us that the world and everything in it is not spinning madly on towards some unknown destination. Instead, "Thy kingdom come" tells us that all of history, all of creation, all of our lives have purpose. Everything around us is moving towards the day when God's kingdom will be fully realized here on earth, as it is realized in heaven. Our faith tells us that God is alive, God is active, and that even now, God is causing kairos moments to drip into our lives, to drip into our world. So when we pray this part of the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come," we are asking God to take our time, our talents, our resources, everything we are, and use them to bring about the kingdom here on earth. "Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven" is the boldest and most daring prayer we can ever hope to pray. These words should be the great rallying cry of the church in every age. "Your kingdom come." These words should be chiseled over every entrance into this church. They should be chiseled into our hearts as well. My friends, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near to us in Jesus. And even now, God is continuing to reveal more and more of it to us. May God give each of us the grace to point to the coming kingdom in our lives, in our village, and in the world around us. Our Father in heaven, may your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Amen. The kingdom of God should be the greatest heart's desire of every Christian, because it's the greatest heart's desire of our Lord Jesus. So in that spirit, let us now sing our next song together, The Splendor of the King.
Come before God with our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you with our prayers of intercession, we remember that we do so in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us how to pray and who opens up the heavenly places for us. and we remember that we do so in the power of your Holy Spirit, the one who guides our thoughts and guards our words, and who comes to our aid when our words fail us. Remembering then your promise of covenant faithfulness to us and your promise to hear us when we pray, we bring our concerns before you. We pray for our world in all its brokenness and hurt. We pray for lands where conflict rages, for Iraq and Syria. We ask that peace might be brought to these and other places, that efforts of dialogue and of justice might prevail, that the mindless violence and senseless suffering might cease. We pray for our own nation, particularly at this time of referendum. We ask that wisdom may guide the conversations and debates, that truthfulness and moderation may guide the claims that are made, that we as a people would vote for good reasons, not ill. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray for your church in all its brokenness and hurt. We pray for the church in places where it is oppressed. And we ask for respite for your people there, that your servants might be strengthened in their witness and find courage and hope in and through their suffering. We pray for our own church in this place. We ask that its work might find support and success, that the light of the gospel might burn bright in this community, that our minister Joshua would find encouragement and rest in you. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray for your people in all their brokenness and hurt, for all those who are in need. We pray for those who live in pain or with illness, for those who live in fear or with anxiety, for those who live in confusion or forgetfulness, and for those who are simply weary. In a moment of silence, we remember those known and dear to us in need of you this morning. We ask that you would be with them this morning, Lord, and with all those who are in need, that you would lift their hearts and their spirits, that you would console and comfort their bodies. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We ask that you would be with us each day, that you would inspire, preserve, and lead us, that you would keep us close in your word and in your spirit. We ask that at the last we might come to be in your heavenly kingdom with all those reconciled sinners who have gone before us, to enjoy the fruits of your everlasting joy. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, to whom with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit be all glory and praise, now and forevermore. Amen.
Let us sing our closing hymn of worship, Crown Him with Many Crowns. In Jesus Christ, the fullness of God's kingdom has drawn near. And even now, the kingdom is increasing. Go forth from this place today and use your lives to point others to the kingdom of God. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.